presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in, welcome on in. It is a Wednesday, which means it is a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. We've got the live streaming video up and running on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, and you can check out one dude in studio with a face for radio. My name is David Tewksbury, joined alongside by you, sir, or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears on this hump day installment of the show. Flying solo here today as Mr. Unlimited, a.k.a. the Cobra. He is not in studio here today or the rest of the week, taking a little vacation. Much needed, much deserved, and want to wish the Cobra nothing but the best. He'll be back in studio with us on Monday of next week. Looking forward to his tales of his vacation coming up here, because I tell you what, he's going to a pretty cool place, and I have been there a time or two in my life, and I'm very, very curious to hear his tales of his vacation. And Cobra, if you're out there listening in right here and right now, turn us off because you're on vacation and enjoy yourself. But I tell you what, have a lot of fun, enjoy yourself, and put it on red. All right, coming up next on the program, we'll be joined with John Burkhalter, Northern State track and field gentleman. Set a school record in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. We'll be joined with John Burkhalter coming up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program, and then towards the bottom of the hour, Northern State baseball with Dylan Castellanos. He'll be joining us live in studio. Both of these guests live in studio here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a Wolves midweek, and to be quite frank, we really don't have a whole heck of a lot of these to go. Of course, you've got spring football now officially in the books for Northern State football. Softball season, their season officially in the books after taking 3 out of 4 over the last weekend. Northern State baseball, they are still moving and a-grooving. A couple games remaining for them before the NSIC tournament, which gets underway here today for the softball side of things. Northern State softball not making the conference tournament this year, but still some track and field yet, and that's really about it. So just a very small handful of these programs remaining for the 24 and 25 quote-unquote sports season, as it were, for our Wolves midweeks installment of the program. And I did see, I think it was either yesterday or 2 days ago, the Northern State football account tweeting out, hey, we are just 100-plus days away from kickoff. I think it was 128 or 127, whatever it was. So the countdown is officially on for Northern State football as they will open up their season, of course, down south in Sioux Falls on a Saturday. Once again, a reminder, no week zero business this year for Northern State football. So it's a week one down south in Sioux Falls against the Coup. And I don't believe game times have been released yet for football, but I would not. I would keep your eyes on their website, nsuwolves.com, as those game times will be released here in the not-too-distant future. Maybe that's in the next couple weeks, maybe next month and a half or so. But one thing I can tell you for sure, Saturday, September 6th, Sioux Falls and Northern State down south there. And looking forward to that opening game of the season and looking forward to the return of the divisions, of course, this year in NSIC football. All right. I am David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
Wait a minute. Mr. Unlimited not here. Again, he is out of the studio here for the next couple of days, so it's just you and me today until, well, the next 10 minutes or so is John Burkhalter. He'll be joining us live in studio. That's in the next 10 minutes. Dylan Castellanos, Northern State Baseball, towards the bottom of the hour right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple of things of note before we get to some of the local stuff. Actually, technically, one of our stories is local today for the jump. A loaded, and I mean loaded, Tuesday in terms of high school this, college that. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details regarding everything from yesterday. Had another really, really solid effort from Olivia Braun as the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles. They took first place at the Peer Invitational. You can check out hubcityradio.com for full and complete details about that, as we'll unpack that later on in the program as time permits. But good stuff there from the Golden Eagles. Braun, the only player who was under par yesterday, a 4-under 67. Gabby Olson of Watertown, 7 strokes behind Braun, shooting a 3-over 74. So two of the three meets for Aberdeen Central, Braun has been your medalist. So she's off to a great start there. And matter of fact, her nemesis picked up some pretty cool accolades yesterday. We'll talk about that here in just 1 second. High school boys tennis yesterday. Aberdeen Central dominant over Sioux Falls Jefferson and Sioux Falls Roosevelt. The Aberdeen Smitties a split yesterday with Watertown. Get into that. Aberdeen Central softball falling to Peer. An abundance of high school track and field. Again, check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details. But first and foremost, let's get to the jump. And I talk about Olivia Braun and how great she's been to start up the season. And if we're being frank, she has been outstanding to start up her high school career. I mean, putting together some really, really great individual performances there for Aberdeen Central. But one has eluded her to a point. Maybe this year, I think she kind of gets over that proverbial hump. And that is to be your medalist at the state AA tournament. Now, the reason why she wasn't medalist last year was because Allison Meyrink of Mitchell pieced together a really, really solid effort, and she took care of business there very, very close. And we talk about Allison Meyrink and how good she has been for Mitchell, the Colonels. Well, Olivia Braun doesn't have to worry about her anymore, but the rest of the G-Pack does. This came out yesterday. Big shout-out goes to Allison Meyrink of Dakota Wesleyan, freshman there for D-Dub. She earned a berth in the NAIA National Championships to represent the GPAC. How about the freshman? 2025 GPAC individual medalist. Big shout out goes to the former Colonel, Allison Meyrink, the medalist there from the GPAC. And I believe she finished 3 or 4 strokes ahead of the rest of the competition. I think it was 3. I checked it here a little bit ago. But she is now headed to the NAIA National Championships to represent the GPAC. So how about that? Good stuff from the regional Allison Meyrink, of course, for Dakota Wesleyan University. And maybe I've been living under a rock, to tell you the truth, on this next story, but I was today years old. You hear people say that all the time. Oh, I was today years old when I heard about X, Y, and Z. Well, to be quite frank, I was today years old when I realized that Randy Moss, of course, great wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, all right, for the Minnesota Vikings, of course. Just making sure you're listening out there. Hey, he was a San Francisco 49er great. Yeah, Randy Moss was a San Francisco 49er great, just the way like Jerry Rice was a Seattle Seahawk great. But that's neither here nor there. Just keeping you on your toes. I was today years old when I found out that Randy Moss had a son that played college football. I had no idea. No idea. Maybe I'm living under a rock. Maybe it's the fact that I'm not plugged into Maine football. But that's just it. Maine wide receiver Montego Moss. Yes, the son of Hall of Famer Randy Moss. He has accepted an invite to Minnesota Vikings rookie minicamp. So we talk about this sort of thing with lots of local guys going to here or going over there. Very, very cool stuff. Montego Moss, Randy Moss's son, is going to the Twin Cities. He's got a rookie minicamp invite. Now, what does he do with that? We'll have to wait and see. But he's got an opportunity. He's got his foot in the door. Probably helps that his last name is Moss. But you know what? He put up some pretty good numbers this last year as a senior. 61 receptions, 722 yards, 7 touchdowns, all-conference honor. So good stuff there for the main wide receiver, Montego Moss. And again, had no idea that Randy Moss had a son. And he's actually pretty doggone good there, too. So pretty cool stuff in that regard. Coming up next on the show, John Burkhalter, Northern State Track and Field. He'll be joining us here in the next 5 minutes or so. And Northern State Baseball with Dylan Castellanos. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour as well. And oh, by the way, before I hit this commercial break, this just came out here within the last 15, 20 minutes, give or take. There is a new head coach for the Wayne State women's basketball squad. This came out here, like I said, just a couple of minutes ago, maybe 20 minutes ago or so. And congratulations go out to a guy that was just down south on 281. He was the former head coach for Briar Cliff, if memory serves correctly. And now he's the new head coach for Wayne State, entering the NSIC, Brian Ortmeier. Yes, named the 12th head coach in the history of Wayne State College basketball. And looking forward to seeing what he's got in store. And they're going to be a different team certainly next year with a new coaching change there. He had been with Briar Cliff the last 3 years. So good stuff there as a gentleman going further south and then a little bit west on 29. Actually, there's some back roads in there that I'm not even quite even sure about. Speaking of not quite sure about, I feel like I know this state pretty well. I've been living in South Dakota since October of 2014. I think I know a thing or two about this state. There's a lot of people out there that know infinitely more than me. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know everything about the Mount Rushmore state. Don't get me wrong. But Prairie City, South Dakota was a city I was not too familiar with. I had to bone up a little bit on this one. John Burkhalter, our next guest from Prairie City, South Dakota. He'll be joining us next right here in studio live on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stick around. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Dylan Castellanos, Northern State Baseball, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. First and foremost, though, we're going to talk a little geography and a little bit of track and field as well, as John Burkhalter joins us live in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's our pleasure for sure, and great to have you here in studio, and we're kind of talking off the air a little bit. I think I know a thing or two about South Dakota. I know a lot of these small towns, but Prairie City was one I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about. Tell me about Prairie City, South Dakota.
Yeah, so Prairie City, born and raised. It's northwestern part of South Dakota. Grew up just 15 minutes out of Bison, South Dakota, if you know where that's at. Also a dinky town, 300 people. So Prairie City, 30 people, fun fact. I grew up with 12 siblings, so we took up half the town, I guess, to say. So, yeah, outside of my family, there was just a couple old abandoned houses, but, yeah.
Yeah,
well, nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was telling you off the air, I graduated with 498, so a little bit bigger than that whole town of South Dakota, which is kind of crazy. But what does one do for fun in Prairie City? You know, I'm probably sure that you guys always find something to do, as everybody does all across the country. So what did you do in Prairie City out there?
Well, I guess we just ran. It kind of became a family tradition. My oldest brother of the 13 kind of started it off, and then all of my siblings have run through high school, and a couple of us, my older brother and I, both got on to college to compete. So, yeah, we just, yeah, I guess, hang out with our siblings and go for a run.
So what's the topography like out there in Prairie City? A lot of hills kind of up and down, or is it kind of flat like here in Aberdeen? Or
it's a lot more rolling hills in here. Yeah, it's really flat here, I'd say. Yeah, just rolling hills, yeah. No trees.
Do you like running out west better or running out east better?
Very much, yeah. It's a lot better running just because it's brings more hills. Here, like, I can go on a run within 10 minutes of Aberdeen and get 1 to 2 feet elevation gain or loss. So, yeah, definitely miss the hills a little bit, but, yeah, it's not extremely hilly, but.
Yeah, gotcha. So, yeah. John Burkhalter joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, senior year. How have you grown? Obviously, you've put up some great numbers, and we'll get into some of those numbers, but how have you grown kind of off the playing surface, if you will? I mean, you've gone from small town South Dakota now to, I guess, the big city in Aberdeen.
Yeah, exactly. Huge city. So growing up, my older brother was a huge inspiration to me. He went on to run at SDSU, and just Fabio's a great guy, great runner. And I just, growing up, I just wanted to replicate everything he did and follow in his footsteps. Brought me here, D2. Yeah, I've loved my time here at Northern. Just very thankful for the gifts that God has blessed us with, but also at the same time, just putting in a lot of hard work. And, yeah, just not being afraid to do the little things and do everything I can to set myself up for success.
Is it difficult staying in as good of shape as you are? I mean, you're a great runner. Everybody knows that. But I'll speak for myself. I love food. I'm a big food guy. Today's the final day of the Aberdeen Burger Battle. Just big shout out there. I've had a lot of them, obviously, as that can show. Is it tough staying in as good of shape and maybe denying yourself some really, really good food from time to time? Or you're just like, I'll just work it off. It's no problem.
That's a little bit of both. Yeah. I feel like distance running, you can get away with a little bit of a less healthy diet because you do just burn so many calories, but at the same time you gotta be very careful what you're putting into your body. And yeah, you definitely need to watch your diet and different things like that, sleeping patterns and everything that goes into staying hydrated. But yeah,
how much water do you typically drink in a day? I try to aim for about a gallon, which is a good amount. I always kind of fall short of that, but are you about a gallon a day kind of guy? Or
I don't keep track, but I drink a lot of water. Yeah, a lot of water
for sure. So competing with your brother, now you mentioned he's a Brookings guy. He's going to, or he's at SDSU. Is he still there, or did he graduate?
He graduated.
Okay, gotcha. So what was it like in Prairie City out there competing with him? Was it always, hey, I'll race you to here, or I'll race you to there, or, you know, was it other, you know, hoops in the front yard kind of thing?
No, there was pretty much no racing between us. He was a lot better than I was. I kind of got left in the dust. But, no, we just trained, I guess. No, we just kind of... Yeah, we had one neighbor who was also pretty good. He was a couple years younger than me. He's actually running at University of Montana right now. And the three of us did a lot of workouts and stuff together and just tried to push each other. Because out there, you know, you're literally in the middle of nowhere. There's no place to train. It's just dirt roads. And the fact that we were able to get as good as we did, to say, like, with the conditions and just, like, the facilities we had, it's kind of nuts, actually.
So does it kind of feel like this is easy now at college? You're like, I ran probably in the middle of nowhere, dirt roads. There's probably a lot of stones on the ground there anyway. You know, you hit a weird stone, you roll an ankle or something like that. I'm sure that's probably happened at some point.
It has.
Yeah, you're nodding. You're like, yeah, been there, done that. So now when you're racing in, you know, D2 facilities and those sorts of places, it's kind of like, this is a breeze, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, put it that way.
Good point to look at it, I think. As John Burkhalter joins us here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen, was it always running, or did you play other sports or anything like that?
Yeah, I played basketball through high school. Never was really that great. I mean, let's just say Bison as a whole, basketball, we've kind of struggled a little bit. So, yeah, really just played through middle school, early high school, but just quit at the end of my high school just to really focus on running because I realized I had some talent that I could – that could get me to go to the next level, and I really just wanted to see where I could take that and where it would take me. So,
was Northern State always on your map, or did they kind of reach out? How did that work out?
Yeah, it was always on my map. It was kind of the closest college to home. I really wanted to go to SDSU, follow my brother's footsteps, run for Rod DeHaven, but it just didn't really work out with COVID year being the year 3 years before, so then all the fifth years were coming back, so there's no scholarship money, and then it was just kind of back and forth. Nothing really worked out. And then Northern, yeah, just worked out perfect, actually. I was kind of like a D1, go big or go home, but then I'm very happy that I went D2. And, yeah, I was just, God made it all work out at the end. It's not really what I was looking for at the time, but right now I'm extremely thankful that I came to Northern. And I'm actually married now, so I met my wife here. She was on the soccer team. And so, yeah, just very thankful for Northern and the time that I've had here.
What is the deal with all of these college athletes getting hitched? When I was at I did play-by-play for presentation before Northern State. There were a bunch of guys that got married on the football team. I was like, this is amazing. I mean, more power to you. It took me until I was in my 30s to find my wife. So, you know, everyone's path is a little bit different. But it feels like there's a lot of college guys that are getting hitched. What's the deal? Something in the water up here or what?
Yeah, it must be. I don't know. Got to watch out for that Northern State soccer team, I guess.
Yeah. How'd you guys meet? Just were you at a game and you're like, oh, she's kind of cute? Or how'd that work out?
It was like an on-campus student-athlete thing where I saw her. Yeah, yeah. She's a year younger than me. So, yeah. Saw the soccer team walk in. I knew I had to get a hold of the one chick's number, and turned out she was pretty nice too. So it all worked out.
Yada, yada, yada. Now you're married.
Exactly.
Wow. Good for you. So how long have you been married for?
August 2nd, so 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 months.
How are you adjusting so far?
It's adjustment. Yeah, it's adjusting. Marriage is, I don't think anyone's ever ready for marriage, but at the same time, it's wonderful.
Just wait till you have kids.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, everyone's like, so are you ready to be a dad? It's like, I don't know if you're ever ready for it. It just kind of happens. So, I mean, it's a great blessing. But you've also said a couple times, you know, God's blessed us. You said off the air, your dad was a pastor. Is he still a pastor out west there?
Yeah, he is. He pastors two country churches out in western South Dakota. Yeah, one's in Prairie City and the other one's literally in the middle of a cornfield, about 30 miles, literally in the middle of nowhere. It's just a church and then, yeah. So, grew up a pastor's kid. Just grew up in the church, I guess. Kind of struggled with that a little bit, Mike, coming in my freshman year, just trying to want to, I mean, when you're homeschooled, you run cross country and you're a pastor's kids. I mean, three strikes, you're out. It's not the best lineup. So just really struggled with like identity and like wanting to have everyone kind of like me, but slowly adjusted and was able to just be able to realize who I was. My identity was in Christ and none of that really mattered. And here I am just living life to the fullest at Northern State and have enjoyed my time so much.
Very cool. You know, I went to Marquette in Milwaukee there. It's
very
a
nice.
Jesuit school. And I feel like that senior year of high school into freshman year of college, that's kind of where, I don't want to say you separate the pretenders from the contenders, but there's some people that go to a Catholic school or a Jesuit school, and they're like, oh, you know, that is a part of your life. So kind of interesting. You're kind of in that same path as well. So you've put together some incredible numbers. You also mentioned COVID. You're kind of on the tail end of the sort of graduating class that have that extra year of eligibility, that sort of thing. What's it like competing with a bunch of other guys that are probably, you know, 23, 24, in some cases, maybe even 25 years old? What's that like?
Yeah, it kind of sucks a little bit, actually. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to beat the fast people. There's no way around it. I mean, there's always going to be fast people. And if they're a couple years older than you, it's just the way it is. I mean, I'm the first year where there won't be a COVID year. So, yeah, I also didn't redshirt, so I'm a straight four-year athlete. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to beat fast runners. So,
walk me through kind of meet day. And are you a big, sounds like, I'm guessing, not to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing you're a prayer guy. Maybe get in a prayer or two before a meet or something like that. Do you wake up early? Got to get a good meal in? Kind of walk me through a day in the life of John.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so race day. There's a lot of, I mean, depends what time I race, trying to eat a couple hours, like 3 to 4 hours before, take quick carbs an hour before, get a shakeout run 6 hours before. So you kind of just have to piece your day together. It's pretty much once you wake up the morning of a race, you're kind of just on the clock and you kind of just do everything you know that you need to do for that morning and that afternoon and just to set yourself up for success. So just try to keep everything the same. That way you don't freak yourself out or get in your head knowing that you've done this ever since I was like a third grader. So, yeah.
Have you ever got in your head before a meet and you really kind of struggle and then you kind of realized, hey, I got to knock that off for next time?
Yeah, I think junior year, high school, state cross country. Yeah, that's the one race I should have won state that year and I ended up getting second to Cody Larson.
Oh.
Because
Northern State's Cody Larson?
No, South Dakota State, Cody Larson.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He's crazy now.
Sure.
Yeah, I could not beat him anymore. But, yeah. But anyway, things just happen. You just have to learn from your mistakes and learn how to mentally prepare and physically prepare for race day.
Yeah. A couple more here with John Burkhalter on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Was it tough being a homeschooled guy and then you kind of, for lack of a better term, assimilate to, you know, a regular high school? Was that tough or did you really enjoy being homeschooled? What was that like?
Yeah, I like being homeschooled. It gave me a lot of opportunities to – I had a year of college done when I came in, so that was great. Great way to save money, great way to get a lot of college classes out of the way. And my mom, she homeschooled all 13 of my siblings, and she's absolutely amazing. She did a wonderful job, and, like, all my siblings are super smart. I'm definitely on the low end of the IQ in my family, but, yeah, I'm just very thankful for the opportunity that I had to be able to be homeschooled and – but I also do love my, like, college experience, and, yeah, it's just been amazing.
How did you not lead with, I've got 13 other brothers and sisters, or 12, I guess, because you're the 13th or whatever.
Yeah.
What's that? How? I mean, that's got to be amazing.
Yeah, it's not your typical family. I mean, it's not, just grew up a little different.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, there's 7 girls, 6 boys. So all of us have run track or cross country through high school. And then, yeah. So
a lot of fights back in the day. I mean, I got 2 older brothers. I was the youngest. So where were you in the pecking order?
I was number 6. So I'm number 6 of 13. Yeah. No, my mom had a pretty tight leash on all of us. We were pretty well behaved, I like to say. So, yeah.
Wow, good for you. Good for the fam there. Maybe 1 or 2 more before I get you out of here. So you set the school record in the 3,000-meter steeplechase here at Drake Relays, if memory serves. Did you know that day, hey, I got a chance to maybe do something pretty special here, or is it just you are in that zone?
Yeah, so actually, it really was kind of a God thing, because on the way down there, so we were going to stop in Wednesday, have a meet at Mount Marty, and then we were going to take a couple vans with people that made Drake for relays. And I didn't make the steeplechase, actually. So on the way, on the bus down there, I was planning to run the 1500 at Mount Marty, get just a mark in, and then run the DMR Saturday at Drake. On the bus down there, my coach, Macy Hines, got a call, and I guess I somehow snuck in. So it was crazy. I was super stoked on the bus, and I was just... Yeah, because before that I was kind of down because I kind of just needed, I felt like I needed one more shot before conference to really break the school record, because conference races can get really strategic and just be a little slower. So my goal for the past year, 2-3 years has been to get that steeplechase school record. So it was really just perfect. And then even then I wasn't really, I knew I could do it, but like it was going to take a perfect day, perfect race, perfect scenario. And sure enough, I got it. I mean, got a race against a bunch of D1 competition, and they just kind of drug me to 908, and yeah, I was just thankful for to be able to be in the race, because I mean, the day before I didn't know I was going to be in it. So
yeah, that's amazing. Maybe I guess 1 or 2 more before I get you out of here. You mentioned Macy Hines. I mean, what a great athlete she was for a lot of years for Ipswich. I mean, she's a D1 athlete as well. What's it like being coached up by somebody like her?
It's amazing. Like, you never have to worry about like your workouts or anything. That you know that you have the best workouts and the best in the conference. Like, taking that mental edge off of competing, just knowing that you are the best prepared, as long as I'm doing what I need to do to recover and do all the things outside of practice, I know that in practice, I'm getting the best that I'm going to get anywhere. So it's really amazing. She's done an amazing job her first 2 years here. I have a lot of respect for her. And yeah, the team and I, we just love her. She's amazing.
John, this has been a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie to you. I had no idea about Prairie City. I had no idea that you had 12 other brothers and sisters. Pretty crazy. Had no idea that you're even married. So yeah. Congratulations.
Thank
to that
you. Appreciate
well.
It.
Absolutely. And thanks again for being a part of the program. Even the action photo here. You were locked in right there, right?
I was locked in, yes.
Very much locked in. Well, thanks for being a part of the program here today. Godspeed, and congratulations already, and good luck going forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's John Burkhalter joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Talk some Northern State baseball. Dylan Castellanos joins us after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to John Burkhalter taking some time out of his busy schedule and joining us here on the show. We're going to round the bases here with Dylan Castellanos. Thanks for popping some time, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for popping in and taking some time is what I meant to say. But tell you what, I haven't had any coffee this morning. This is just all adrenaline. I mean, you late night last night getting back from Sioux Falls. Are you a coffee guy, Red Bull?
No energy. So, like, usually when I get coffee, it's all decaf. So I do not like the caffeine.
Really?
I'm usually a late night guy anyways. So it kind of worked out perfectly with my bedtime. So it wasn't too bad.
I tell you what, it's not that long ago. It's maybe hard to believe, but it's not that long ago I graduated college. Okay. And I was a big-time Red Bull guy.
Okay.
Big time Red Bull, coffee, all that. But then again, you talk about being a late night guy. Aren't most college guys and gals, for that matter, late night people anyway?
Yeah. I mean, I would say like the late night depends. I know there are some that stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning. When I say late night, it's more of like 11, 12.
Okay.
But late, there are people that stay up to 2-3 o'clock. So
what's the point?
I honestly do not know.
Yeah, like class at 8 a.m. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm really tired. Oh, what time did you go to bed last night? 2:30.
Yeah, it's a nap time. That's what they always say. They got time for nap, but I hate naps, so.
Not a nap guy.
Nope, not a nap guy.
Never have been, or?
Never. I mean, since I was a kid, never taken a nap. Like 4 years old, 5 years old, never took a nap.
Who's got time for that?
Exactly.
All right, fair enough. Had no idea.
Yeah.
So, I tell you what, you've had an interesting path to Aberdeen. Yeah. All the way out west from California, now to South Dakota. We were talking off the air about Prairie City and probably don't know a whole heck of a lot about that town, nor did I. Yeah. Kind of walk me through your path to Northern State.
So coming here, I got recruited late summer, or it was kind of like middle summer, and I committed late summer. But my junior college coach, he was an assistant grad at Northern, so he kind of had contacts with our head coach. And he reached out to him. There's three of us that came from – we went to Yuba College in California, so we came from there. Got us here, and now we're here. So,
Yuba, is that kind of by the coast, or is that kind of inland? Or
it's kind of inland, but it's like 45 minutes north of Sacramento.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha. So, were you always an outfielder out there too? I mean, you play outfield here. Are you a left field, right field, center field?
I'm playing left field here, but like pretty much in the outfield. If you can play outfield, you can pretty much play any position. But left field here. In high school, I played a little bit of infield. And then once I transitioned into college, it was straight outfield. So,
I got to be honest with you, because I played baseball back in the day, not certainly to your level, but I liked being involved in every single play. I played catcher back in the day, so I mean, you're in every single pitch. Is it tough keeping focus in the outfield? I mean, the second you lose focus, that ball's coming your way, it feels like.
Yeah, you gotta be locked in, like, all the time, because I mean, like, if you take your eyes off for 1 second and the ball's in the air and you have no clue where it's at, you're done, so...
Speaking of taking your eye off the ball, did you see the catch the guy made yesterday, between Boston and, was it the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I think it was Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was insane. I've never seen that happen before.
Neither have I.
No.
They say that all the time. It's like, oh, in baseball, you never know what you're going to see. You know, you'll see something new every day. I had never seen that play before. Yeah. Absolutely bananas. The center fielder falls down and like kind of like puts his head around and just somehow behind the back catch.
Yeah, insane. Like I said, I've never seen that happen before. I mean, he fell and... looked up for a second, reached behind his back, and he caught the ball. So.
You could try that play in practice 100 times,
yeah, no.
And you'll make it maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. So walk me through your time, as we're talking with Dylan Castellanos here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Walk me through your time at Yuba. How did you grow? What did you learn about the game of baseball, about yourself, about just kind of becoming eventually a D2 college baseball player?
Yeah, so just like in the beginning, coming out of high school, I mean, I heard the other guy talking like it was D1 or go home. And that's how I kind of was until I like fully realized that I didn't have the ability at that time to go Division 1. Because I mean, coming out of high school, I was probably 6'1", 150 pounds. So, like at that point, I realized, okay, maybe I should take the junior college route. And then when I got to junior college, I realized like we don't have much here. So I'm like, okay, now I got to put in the work. I got to grind in order to get where I want to get. And so eventually after that, I learned who I was as a person, who I was as an athlete, and I grinded it out and ended up here. So I'm very glad I chose to go that route.
So again, we're talking with John earlier. Did it almost feel like that was the hard stuff?
Yeah. Exactly.
Now this is kind of cake, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot easier. I was talking. I did one of the interviews the other day, and I was telling him, like, junior college, you're in the weight room at 7 a.m. Right after that, you're getting to class around 12:00, practicing at 2:00, and then you're there till 5:30. Don't get home till 6:30. So I mean, you're there from 7 to 7 pretty much. So it's a long time. And here, like, we have so many restrictions put on us by the NCAA. So It's a lot easier, I would say, but it's definitely worth it.
So walk me through, not necessarily the restrictions, but, I mean, there's still a lot of time to balance. You know, maybe you've got an off-the-field job, or maybe you're a tutor or something like that, or, you know, you talk about weight room practice, maybe you got a relationship, a job, all these sorts of things. How do you balance everything as a student-athlete? That's got to be pretty tough.
Yeah, it's basically balancing the work you have from school and the baseball that you're doing, or weightlifting, baseball, training, anything you're doing, just managing the schoolwork you're getting and the stuff you're doing for athletics. So it's not really much like a hard balance, but it's definitely something that takes some skill to balance those things out.
Yeah, my senior year of college, I broadcast all the Marquette women's soccer games. Okay. So that was my best semester because I was so locked in. Yeah. On my timing, I was like, okay, I only got time for this, and I got to have time for study and this and that. So you'd be surprised how many student athletes, like the thought is like, oh, well, they just don't go to class, they don't put in the work. Now, you'd be surprised how easy it is to kind of lock in because you know you have X amount of time for these sorts of things, right?
Yep, exactly.
So here it doesn't say your major. So what are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in business administration. So that's what I'm doing because I honestly don't have a clue what I'm going to do yet after college. So I figured that would be the most, like, generic degree I could pick. So basically I just chose that, and I'm going to stick with it until I know what I'm going
to
do.
Hey, man, you're talking to a communications guy. So, I mean, that's the same kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, you know, communications, we'll go in with that.
Yeah.
So you got to walk me through this season. It's been kind of an up-and-down season. I know you guys kind of stubbed your toe a little bit yesterday against Augie, very good team. But you guys, the last, I'd say, month, have really pieced together some really solid baseball. Yeah. What do you think's kind of changed for you guys?
I honestly just think nothing's really changed besides we're playing how we should be playing. I mean, at the beginning, I feel like we had the talent, we had the ability. We just weren't using it. We didn't put it to work. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we have changed is just playing who we are, playing together and playing for each other.
How important is that to play for each other? Every time I talk to a coach or a student athlete, they say, you know, if we're playing for each other, that's pretty powerful. Can you kind of unpack that term and what that really means to you?
So basically just playing for, like, literally playing for each other. I mean, like, you go on the field and you're not playing for yourself. You're playing for your teammates, playing for your family, playing for everyone besides yourself. So, I mean, like, especially on a 60-man roster, it's very hard to not find guys that are selfish and, like, that want their own personal success. But I feel like on this team we have this year, we have almost every single guy is playing for the team. So
you got to walk me through the at-bat against Bemidji State. I think it was last weekend or week and a half ago, whatever it was. I mean, you guys are down by, I think, 4 going into the bottom of the seventh there. Or, sorry, top of the seventh. It was seven innings, right? Or was that a nine?
That was a nine inning game.
That was a nine run. Yeah. Okay. So, top of the ninth, you're down by a handful of runs. I mean, you're up at the dish, and then you're hitting the dinger. I mean, what's it like when – it's not a walk-off because it's a road game.
Yeah.
But a go-ahead – was it a grand slam, if memory serves? Yeah, I was going to say it was either 3 or 4. So, grand slam, I mean, are you thinking, hey, I got to put this one out in the bleachers or make solid contact? Like, what's going through your mind as you go up into the plate?
Yeah, so I was in a 3-1 count, 3 balls, 1 strike, and you pretty much know, like, he has to throw a strike here, otherwise he's walking in a batter. They're down one, or they're up one at that point, and then now it's just like win or lose. So they threw the 3-1 fastball, hit it over the fence, and it was just, I don't even remember the moment. It was, like, so shocking. But, did it for my teammates. It was awesome.
Did you just kind of black out when you're rounding first there and you're coming in home, all your buddies, all your teammates are there? I mean, that moment has got to be – that's like the stuff in Hollywood movies.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, it's what a kid dreams of. I mean, you're playing wiffle ball in the backyard, and you put yourself in that situation, like 3-2 count, like World Series on the line, hit a home run, win the game. So, I mean, it was definitely an awesome moment, and like I said, it was a blur until I hit home plate, so it was awesome.
What did you give me some good fun stories from the dugout? You know, do you guys do the hot foot down there at all, or, you know, like the bubble gum, like all the bubble gum gets thrown out of the little case into people's faces? Like, you got something good there for NSU?
Not for the home runs, but we are known for handstands. So our teammates do a lot of handstands in between innings, and it's been a thing ever since the season started. So it's awesome. It's a way to get all the guys kind of into the game, get us going, and give us some energy.
Gotcha. Dylan Castellanos here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more before we get you out of here. Dodgers, then? Or are you thinking Padres? I mean, different team?
Yeah, I'm a Padres fan.
Okay. So, how come?
I just like San Diego. It's a nice area. I like the players they have on San Diego, and I just like their colors, pretty much everything. I used to be a Giants fan growing up as a kid, but kind of just, like, since growing up a little bit, I became a Padres fan. So I think I'll stick with that for the rest of my life.
Fair enough. How are they looking this year, in your opinion?
They were the number one power in the power rankings. They kind of dropped a little bit the last week or two because they lost a series to the Rays. So they kind of dropped a little bit, but they have a really good team, so I hope they make it pretty far.
Is it true how badly Padres and Dodgers fans hate each other? That's pretty bad blood out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad blood, but it's definitely not as bad as the Giants and the Dodgers go. So, I mean, growing up a Giants fan, the Dodgers-Giants series, like, you don't even go to those games because they're so, like, they're sketchy. So
yeah, there's some, like, stabbings in the parking lot and stuff. That is not uncommon. I mean, I wish that wasn't the case, but it actually has happened a time or two. So you guys got a handful of games left. What do you got to do to keep this momentum going?
We have 3 games left, and just keep playing how we're playing. Honestly, like, we didn't play a bad series against Augustana. I mean, the first game was a little iffy, but, like, we've been playing very solid for the probably past month. So I hope we continue it, play for each other, like I said, and just do our thing.
Favorite place to eat on the road for you when you're on the road there? Where'd you guys go yesterday in Sioux Falls?
We went to this chicken place, but before that, we stopped at, like, this mall area, and I got Chipotle. Chipotle is probably one of my top fast food places, but in California, it's definitely In-N-Out. I don't know if you know what In-N-Out is, but yeah, it's one of the best, like, freshest burgers you'll ever taste. So
what's it called, like animal style or something like that with the fries?
Yeah, animal style. So it's like their custom spread or their custom sauce with cheese on the fries melted. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was out in Vegas over a decade ago now, but they had an In-N-Out in Vegas. I was like, oh, we got to go to In-N-Out because I'm a big fan of the movie The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And they're always like, oh, we got to go to the In-N-Out burger. So I was like, I got to go to the In-N-Out burger. I'd never had it before. Man, that is awesome.
Awesome.
I'm a huge fan of In-N-Out. Anything else before we let you go? Shout outs, family, friends, anything else like that to kind of wrap things up?
No, not really. Just my teammates. That's about it. But keep this thing going and do what we're doing.
All right. Well, good luck this upcoming weekend. Thanks for being a part of the program, and good luck.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dylan Castellanos joining us live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll wrap up this Wolves midweek after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple of great guests here in studio here today. John Burkhalter of Northern State Track and Field. Dylan Castellanos, Northern State Baseball. Yeah, that not quite a walk-off, but, I mean, that's as good as you can get, especially being the road team. You're down, 3-1 count. You put it right in the right center field, over the right center field fence there, hit a grand slam for that big win against Bemidji State about a week and a half or so ago. A couple great guests here in studio on FSA. A loaded, loaded Tuesday to get to. We're not going to have time to get to all of this stuff, but would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for a full and complete list of all of the action from yesterday. Big shout out goes to the Aberdeen Central Golf Squad and Olivia Braun and company. Again, Braun, the medalist there for the Golden Eagles. Kylie Weyerbaugh finished in third place, a 3-over, 74. Good for her. Emma Dore would finish a 6-over par, tied for 7th place there, 77. Chloe Vikander, a 20-over, 91 for 23rd place. Individual and team scores can be found via hubcityradio.com. But good stuff there for the Golden Eagles. As for the Aberdeen Smitties, of course, all of their games this season, home games courtesy of Culver's of Aberdeen. Ryan Martin on the play-by-play there last night from Watertown. Tough go for their offense in Game 1. And then in Game 2, they just basically exploded. They lose Game 1 3-0, got a solid pitching performance, but just not enough offensive firepower to win Game 1. But secondly, 9-8 victors there in Game 2 as the Aberdeen Smitties are back in action this upcoming Sunday at 1 and 3 o'clock, respectively, on the high school side of things, as they'll bring in the Harrisburg squad. Ryan Martin on the play-by-play on our website, hubcityradio.com, and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen YouTube page. So check that out this upcoming weekend out at Fossum Field. Smitty's home games this season courtesy of Culver's of Aberdeen. And a loaded, and I mean loaded, track and field slate from yesterday. You had the Esteline meet. The Miller Booster Club meet was also held yesterday. And again, highlighted by the Rob Lookie invite there yesterday. We talked with Coach Larson on the program, and the Warner girls, they put together a really solid effort. They finished in second place, just about a point and a half behind first place Groton, Ipswich, Potter County, and Miller, rounding out the top five there. On the guys' side of things, Millbank up top, they finished in first, followed by second place Aberdeen Roncalli, Ipswich, Groton, and Sisseton, rounding out the top five. Kyle Hedich of Ipswich winning the 100 and 200-meter runs. Brody Weinmeister of Aberdeen Roncalli, the 400-meter run winner. Jaden Schwann of Groton winning the 3,200-meter run there as well, while Dustin Wirtz of Loyola winning the shot put as well as the discus. Ella Bucklehide of Northwestern winning the 1,600-meter run. McKenna Teets of Groton winning the 100-meter hurdles, and much, much more. Check out our website for more details. Shantae LaCroix winning the triple jump there as well. And Northern State softball with 3 all-conference honorees. Check out hubcityradio.com for full and complete details. We're back at it tomorrow on the Sports Hub.